Welcome to Coach Your Brains Out, the show that explores learning from the top minds in volleyball and beyond. With your hosts, John Mayer, Billy Allen, Andrew Fuller, and Nils Nielsen.
We're excited to have on the show former professional indoor player and current USA Beach player, Alex Kleinman. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So just kind of wanted to start out getting into how you've been preparing for the upcoming, well, I guess it's still a little ways till summer, the 21-21 season, a season that's really, you know, filled with unknowns. So I guess, how do you go about preparing for something like that?
Well, it's not like this, you know, preparation just started. You know, I kind of look at my beach career as like a huge crash course for beach volleyball, because I knew that I was starting this process, you know, later than most people. And then I, you know, was on this path where I wanted to, you know, it's a super accelerated path, and I wanted to see if I could qualify for the Olympics in this period of basically 4 years. And so it's not like it's just starting. You know, there's obviously this big roadblock with COVID and tournaments getting canceled and all of that. But basically, you know, we're trying to stick to our path and do what we have been doing, and keep trying to find ways to get better every day. And, you know, even as we get better, finding new things to improve on. And so that path has stayed the same.
So then what, as you're preparing for, you know, ultimately the Tokyo Olympics, is what advice has been kind of most helpful? I'm sure you've heard all sorts of advice, how you can mentally prepare, physically prepare. Is there anything that's been really helpful in kind of getting you ready for the Tokyo?
I'm not sure if there's been one piece of advice. You know, obviously April has been to the Olympics a couple of times, and so there's a lot of things that I ask her about, oh, what was it like, and what do you wish you would have done differently? And, you know, we work with a sports psychologist as well, and we've done some work, because I know that it's going to be, you know, like sensory overload and just an extremely overwhelming experience in a lot of good ways, but also, you know, some bad ways probably. And so I want to try to do as much work before that experience to prepare myself. And so we've done, like, you know, just some different visualization exercises. We're really lucky because we played in a test event there last summer. So I was able to kind of see what the venue would be like, what the climate would be like, which is going to be a huge factor, I think. But just, you know, trying to do some of that mental work beforehand to prepare for that kind of pressure. And, you know, I think a big thing that we try to do is to just put ourselves in a lot of, you know, pressure filled situations so that we're used to, you know, really intense environments. And, you know, I don't think there's any, you know, real way to replicate what you're going to experience at the Olympics. So I think part of it is just doing your best, but I've asked a lot of questions, and we're trying to do everything we can to prepare, but, you know, at the end of the day, you just got to dive on in and do your best.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, well, cool. We wanted to get into kind of your journey going indoor to beach and the lessons you've learned through it. So I guess first, maybe just what were some of the most important lessons that you learned from your indoor career, and I guess, yeah, kind of what were some of the big learning points?
Well, I think one thing that I've been, you know, really lucky to have experienced and develop is, you know, obviously I'm a really tall player, and from a young age, I had a lot of coaches, encouraging me and supporting me to play all the way around. And, as you guys know, to be a good beach player, you can't just have one or two skills that you're good at. You have to really understand the whole game, and you have to be able to have ball control, but you have to be offensive. And so I think that that was one thing that I always felt like set me apart a little bit on the indoor side, is just that I was tall, but I really tried to develop all of my skills, not just my offense. And from a young age, I was super determined to never be taken out in the back row. So I think, you know, it was even when it wasn't a coach's priority, it was my priority. But I also remember getting to high school and my high school coach just leaving me in the back row, even though I wasn't really good enough to pass. And at the time, I was kind of like, what are you doing? Like, I feel like I was like on stage in my underwear type of thing. But in retrospect, I was really grateful that she had the foresight where she, you know, she thought, I could be a great outside hitter. She thought that I could be a good passer. And so she just basically said, okay, you're going to figure it out. And the best way to learn is to do it. And so nowadays I don't feel like, you know, a lot of coaches are doing that. It's like, if you're not good enough now, then you don't get to play. And she, I think, was looking into the future. And then in club as well, I played for Club Long Beach, Joy McKenzie and JP Calderon. And I think they had this, you know, a similar belief that I could be really good. And so, you know, year round in all 4 years of high school, I feel like I had people really just encouraging me and helping me develop into being a complete player. So I think that was really crucial. And then I think there's some just like discipline things that you learn on the indoor side that maybe aren't emphasized the same way on the beach side. And just, you know, being on time and putting in a certain amount of work. And beach is obviously a lot more fluid just in the way things are run, and indoor is a bit more rigid. But I think I learned just like how far working hard could take you, you know, regardless of your skill level. And I think that that has transferred over and kind of like, it's stuck with me throughout my career. And I definitely learned that on the indoor side, and I'm proud of my work ethic and how that's developed.
Nice.
That seems so pivotal to have those coaches have that vote of confidence in you passing and playing in the back and just being a well-rounded player. If you don't mind, could you share some of the most important failures that you had indoor and what you learned from them?
Right. Well, so just the way that I was really lucky to have some coaches that, you know, really, really believed in me. Like, you go to the national team and it's almost like the inverse environment. So it's a coach basically saying, okay, here's 25 of you competing as hard as you can every day. There's no necessarily like built-in trust for me. You have to earn it. Here are these stats every single day. And if your stats drop, then you're lower in the depth chart. So I personally didn't really thrive in that environment. I really felt like I was competing for somebody's approval more than just going to practice and, you know, trying to play my best every day. And obviously I was, but there was all these other, you know, factors and stressors, and it felt like kind of a constant tryout. And I don't think that I ever really, you know, maximized my potential in that environment. But then at the same time, it was kind of a funny contrast, because I would go overseas and here I was being hired by a team, you know, and so up front, I kind of knew that I was going to start and play all the time just based off of how much they were paying me. You know, like, no club wants to pay a player a bunch of money and then sit them on the bench all year. And so those coaches were kind of required to be invested in me and to believe in me. And so I would go overseas with almost the opposite attitude, where I'd say, okay, I don't care if they like me. I don't care if they want to send me home. I'm just going to play the way I want to play, and I'm going to compete hard and try to get better. And if that doesn't work out, too bad. And so when I went overseas, I had such different experiences, because I really felt like I let go of all those external pressures and opinions and whatever. And I just played the way I wanted to play. And I actually feel like I played a lot better. And if I could have, you know, taken that mentality and transferred it into the national team gym, I feel like I could have at least played a little bit better, but you know, it is what it is.
I guess those things become clear maybe in hindsight and when you're zoomed out from it. But I bet when you're so zoomed in, it's hard to really kind of feel the way you're responding in those environments.
Right. And, you know, even with hindsight, you know, it's not that easy to just say, oh, I'm not going to care what the coach thinks, or I'm not going to care about my stats, when you know that those things are being analyzed every day and every week. And so, you know, it's, I think, one of those things that's easier said than done, but it was a lot easier for me to have that kind of mentality when I would play overseas versus in the national team gym.
Right. That makes sense. So then what made you want to transition into the beach game?
I think the main thing is I felt like I hit a standstill with my ranking in the national team gym, and it's been a huge dream of mine to play in the Olympics. And I'm also just the type of player that Like, I need to have the highest goal possible to, you know, I need to be striving for something constantly. And 2016 was the first time I wasn't invited back into the national team gym. And I had signed a contract to play the year after that in Brazil. And I went over there and, you know, I was having a good season, but there was this emptiness inside of me because I was like, okay, yeah, you know, I like volleyball and I'm good at it and I can definitely keep playing and make some money, but what's the point of all of this? Like, there's this huge why that was missing. And in the past, there was always this dream of playing in the Olympics and there was this bigger thing that I was going for and that this bigger purpose. And so I felt like I was stripped of that a little bit. And then I did have the opportunity to go back in 2017, but I think in 2016, there's just so much soul searching on my part of like, okay, well, what if I don't get invited back? And then what's next? And what does this mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I actually played a lot of beach volleyball as a really little kid. And I experienced how much I liked it. Obviously the game is so much different when you're 10 playing in beach volleyball tournaments as opposed to, you know, 25 or 30, but, it was always in the back of my mind that I would want to go back at some point. And so I think, you know, just the way my indoor career was playing out, it seemed like it was becoming the, you know, the perfect time and the perfect opportunity to switch to the beach. And then on top of that, my body was taking a beating indoors. You know, when I played in Brazil, we practiced on a concrete floor with a mat over it twice a day. So you can imagine what that did to my knees. So, you know, like I think my body was asking for it. My mind was asking for it. My heart was asking for it. So at a certain point, I just said, screw it. I'm going to go for it. And I don't know what this is going to look like or where it's going to take me. But I think, you know, it was a really refreshing change.
Yeah. It's still, I mean, when I hear you say, it's like, oh yeah, of course you did that. But then when you think about like you had a guaranteed contract for probably a lot of years, you had, you know, money basically in the bank for indoors. We're on the beach. There's just this like, you know, I got to go play a qualifier. You know, who knows what's ahead. There's no contract ever. It still was a big leap for you to take, it seems like.
Yeah. And it's funny because all the people that I really trusted were saying, play another year indoor and see what happens with the national team and see what it looks like for this next quad. And you're making, you know, and it's funny, my highest contract that I ever made was the year before I quit. And so my career was, professionally, at least, like outside of the national team gym, was trending upwards. But, you know, there was just a big part of me like, well, what if with the beach? And people kept saying, okay, well, you could make no money, you could lose money. And I knew it. And I'm very analytical by nature. And I'm very rational and realistic. And I'm the type of person that I make, you know, lists of pros and cons, and I listen to people that I really trust. And this was like the first decision in my entire life where I just said, I don't care what's smart or rational or what you think I should do. Like, this is what I want to do. There's something just in me that wanted it so bad. And I did it. And I think that's also part of the reason why I'm successful. Like, I know this is a really intangible thing, but I think I really wanted to do it. I really had this desire. I have this desire to prove myself. I had a desire for like a fresh start. And so, you know, I think there's part of me that just like is so desperate to maximize everything that the beach is giving me.
That's awesome.
That's such an amazing story already. And I think it's really cool to think about how like you didn't just jump from like one mountaintop to another. Like
I
you
fell,
jumped off
I
the
fell
cliff.
Off the mountaintop.
You like you just fully sent it off the cliff. And I would love to hear about some of the initial challenges that you had, like when you immediately like stepping on the sand, first time back since you were 10 years old. I'm sure you've been on the beach since then. But like first time like playing in earnest since that time, what were some of the initial challenges that you had?
Well, I think, you know, my personality is to be really in control of everything. And so in my head, I was like, okay, I got to get this plan. I got to figure out who I'm going to train with. You know, I remember Al Lau from AVP calling me and being like, oh, like, are you going to start playing beach right away? And I was like, no, I need a little time. And, you know, I kind of played it off like I need some time to rest. But I think there was also part of me that was like, I need some time to figure out, like, how am I actually going to do this? Mm-hmm. And then I remember getting a call from somebody to, you know, like someone had dropped out of a training group and they said, oh, do you want to come? And I was like, you know what the heck, like, might as well see where I'm at. And this was, I think, only a week or so after being back from Brazil. So pretty much no downtime, pretty burnt out, but I end up going to the beach and playing with these girls. And I think it was like a Tuesday or Wednesday. And I had trained with Jace Pardon, and the sign up deadline was, I think, Thursday for the first ADP tournament in Huntington or something. So I remember within like one day practicing, deciding, yeah, why not? Let's just go play. And so the whole idea that I had in my head that was like, okay, I'm going to practice first and get better and then play was just totally tossed aside. And I ended up just going out there and playing and having no idea what I was doing. And in retrospect, like, I'm sure it was so bad, but I also think it was really good for me to just go out there and play and not worry about, like, you know, being good right off the bat. It was kind of like, okay, let's just get some experience and learn as you go and kind of have fun. And it was also liberating in a way, just to know, like, okay, I'm gonna suck. So you can almost let go of all of that pressure, whatever, that expectation to be great, because I knew I wasn't gonna be great. And so instead it was just really like, okay, let's see how much I can learn. Let's see like how good I can do, which was just the opposite perspective I think I had indoor. Like, there was this expectation to be great all the time. And if you didn't, it was more of a letdown than like, whereas the beach, it was like, oh my God, we got seventh place. It was my first tournament. Like, I was just so overjoyed to have even made it through the qualifier and then to even, you know, beat some teams that play beach year round. And so I think it was just a really cool experience of going for it and not really having expectations.
Yeah, that's a great, great message. And I can imagine there was the trap, and as I'm understanding your personality, of like wanting it to be perfect and like, I got to train for a year, and when I step out there, I've got to look really good and make sure I'm ready. But I imagine your growth would have been so much slower because you're not, yeah, embracing, they say embrace the suck. You know, you're not just like getting in there and getting messy and figuring out what you really had to work on. So it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, for sure. And I think there's just so many lessons that come. You learn so much faster when you are playing, and then you also learn faster when you're failing too. And so just the whole idea of having a safe training environment, like, I don't think that brings out the best in anybody. So I think it was really important that I just jumped right in.
Yeah, that's great. Were there moments where you thought, yeah, maybe I should quit, maybe this isn't for me? And if there was, what kept you, you know, staying at it?
Surprisingly, no. I mean, when I watch some, you know, highlights, so to speak, from my first year, like, they are not highlights when I look at them now. It's like really hard to watch. And I remember feeling a little bit like, why am I not getting better faster? And I remember being frustrated with that a little bit. But it was also humbling at the same time too, because, you know, how many indoor players come to the beach and think like, oh, I can do this, this is easy, like, only, you know, one blocker and one defender. And so I think it, you know, it was good for me to get humbled a little bit. But I mean, there is no real doubt in my mind that that's what I wanted to do. And even when I wasn't doing as well as I wanted, it was still a really liberating experience to just go out there and to be choosing who you want to play with, choosing who you want to coach you, and to just try to do your best with kind of no expectations. But, you know, at a certain point, my first year, it was during my first year, April approached me and kind of was like, okay, you know, at some point I'm going to need a partner. And so then there was this whole opportunity that I didn't even know would be there. And so that was obviously, you know, hugely motivating and made me just want to go and practice like all day, every day. And so once that presented itself, and then I realized, you know, the Olympics could maybe be in the picture, like, there was definitely no turning back from there.
Alex, what, when you came out, you know, obviously like super skilled in the gym, what skills do you feel like translated over into beach for you?
Well, I will say, like, I think one advantage that I had from playing indoor is that I had saved some money, which I think people don't really talk about, but right. You know, it's really hard to want to invest fully in your beach career when there's no guarantee that you're going to be making money, especially mm-hmm. in the beginning. Like you're realistically going to be losing money, because if you travel to these places and you don't do well, then you're basically not earning anything. And now you're negative on the weekend. And so I committed right from the beginning to say, okay, how would I train if I were the best in the world? Like that's like, what would I invest in? That's what I want to invest in right from the beginning, because that's the only way I'm going to get there. And so like, I remember I flew a coach to a qualifier tournament in Seattle, which I don't think is very common, but I think I just thought, you know, like I thought like, okay, well, what do all the best players do? Like, how do they get there? And what do they feel like is important? Like, yes, having a coach there is important. You know, like if you can't warm up well, like how are you going to play well? There's just all these things. And, you know, having played on the indoor side, you have so many different parts of your routine that are so important. Like in the weight room, you go there all the time. You're working on your body and like getting healthy all the time. And you're watching video weekly and you're practicing every day, maybe twice a day. And so I think I understood the importance of that structure and I kind of brought it with me to the beach, even though, you know, if I wanted to train twice a week, I could. And if I wanted to not lift at all, I could. Like, there's so much freedom and so much flexibility with the beach, which in some ways is like a really great thing, but in some ways I think can be a little dangerous, because you have to be extremely self-motivated and you kind of have to be the enforcer on yourself to get things done. And so I just said, okay, well, these are all the things I would do to prepare on the indoor side. Like, what does this look like on the beach side, and how do I implement all those things?
Have people bailed on you from practice? You know, it's like, it's a February 20th practice. It's windy as hell. And, you know, are other people like, nah, I'm out. And you're like, no, we got to go.
Well, I never had an off season with anyone but April. So, and I think she knew how much work I had to do to get ready. So I think she was like, yeah, we need to get in the sand like tomorrow. But, no, I was lucky. Like even before April, I had a lot of good partners that were pretty dedicated and wanted to get better and, you know, got in the sand regularly. So, I think like they recognized in me that I wanted to work hard, and that was something that was important to me and a partner. So I didn't really have too much of an issue with that, but I've definitely practiced with some people that show up, you know, 5 or 10 minutes before practice, which to me is just like if you do that indoor, like,
yeah,
good night, like something bad's gonna happen to you. So I don't know, like I've now, like I would never think of getting to a practice less than like 30 minutes before. Like that's just how I operate, and that's something that's ingrained in me from indoor. It's like if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And I've seen some pretty late, I don't know, just people show up pretty close to practice time, even a couple times like a few minutes late, and it's like, oh, sorry. And it's like, what do you mean sorry? Like you can't, like that just can't happen. And so, but that's just the difference from playing indoor. Like it doesn't matter if there's traffic, if you're late, like you're gonna be on the line or you're gonna be running or there's some punishment, right? So like you have to just allow so much time that you would never ever be late.
So it sounds like there's lots of good lessons that you learned from indoor took to the beach. Do you think there's anything indoor players could learn from beach players that could help them?
Well, I think the area that I've really had to develop, I guess specifically like volleyball, like is just really understanding the game and like really reading the game and having the creativity to like adapt to all these situations and figure out, okay, well, what's the other team actually doing and how are we going to change our strategy? Whereas indoor, I felt like, you know, the coach came up with this big game plan and your job was just to execute it. And if the game plan was going to change, like it was because the coach called a timeout and said, all right, now we're doing this, you know? And so in a very simplified version, like we were kind of just puppets, you know, and like, we had to do our job, but like we're doing what the coach was telling us. And now, you know, when you play beach, you don't have a coach usually on the sideline, at least when you're playing internationally. So you literally have to do all of the in-game strategizing and figuring out, okay, this isn't working. Like, what do we do? And so I think it's really made me just be much more aware of like what's actually happening and how can I, you know, how can we change in this moment to turn the game around or whatever. And so I think that's been something that, you know, maybe if I had gone back indoor, it'd be kind of a cool thing to be able to experiment with, like, okay, what am I actually seeing? Like, what can I do before the coach even calls a timeout to, you know, adjust something in the game? Not just like, oh, I need to drop my right hand a little bit more. It's like, no, they're actually like only hitting angle. So like, let's move our block in, like, let's, you know, have the libero look for what, you know, there's just a bunch of things that I don't think necessarily indoor players are being as proactive about. And then I guess just in a more general sense, like, because I basically have full control over every aspect of my like career right now, there's a lot of ownership too. So it's like, you know, nobody's paying me to just show up to practice. Like, nobody's guaranteeing me any money. Like, I'm actually paying everybody to help me. And so now it's kind of like, now that I can actually do what I want to do, like, what do I actually want to do and what's going to benefit me? And so it's no longer just going into the weight room and doing what somebody tells me, because now I actually get to choose how do I want to lift or what's the best way for me to get stronger, for me to be healthy. Like, there's just so many choices that if I don't choose the right thing, like, that's on me and there's no excuse anymore. Like, I'm literally choosing, how do I want to train? Who do I want to play with? How do I want to be coached? How do I want to get stronger in the weight room? Like, how do I want to get healthy? And so these are all things that now I've really, I think, kind of taken a dive into and become much more introspective about. Like, okay, I've lifted like this for how long in my career and how many injuries have I had? So, you know, there's a point where now I'm like, okay, like, how am I actually going to get healthy? Like, it's not just doing the same thing that I've always done. And so it's actually been really, really gratifying and really liberating to finally break off and find new solutions to the problems that I've always had, and to be able to have that freedom to go, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to figure out how to move, you know, I'm going to change my mechanics. I'm going to go somewhere else to do that. And nobody can say, no, you have to lift in this gym and do it our way, you know.